And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is December 8th, 2024, and we welcome you folks out there, and we thank you for being here this morning. Before we get started, we're going to start off with a song, and this song is My Hope is Built, off of Circuit Riding Preacher's Songbook Number 1.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
And let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here and to worship you in the spirit and in truth, Father. We thank you, Father, for these messages that were preserved that Pastor Peters did so long ago. We're thankful that we can apply them to today and that we can continue to learn from them. We're grateful for them. And Father, we thank you for bringing that man into our lives and for the leader that he was of this church for such a long time. Father, we're thankful for the work that you're doing in this land. And we just continue to cry out for your people to turn their hearts and their minds back to you. We pray, Father, that you save America again, that you save us from the hands of our enemies, those that seek to destroy it, those that seek to blot your name out, Lord. We know that we are living in exciting times, Father, and we're grateful for that. And we just ask, Father, that you continue to lead us, guide us, and direct us. Lead us into more truth. We pray, Father, for working in your Holy Spirit. Father, we see that your hands are at work, and we're grateful for that, and we're thankful for that. And we just ask, Father, that you continue to purify our hearts and our minds and our spirits. We pray these things in the name, above all names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're going to have another song. This one is Blaze of Glory.
Let's march on in his blaze of glory. All good things will win. Like all heroes in his story, let's fight on like he fights sin. In his blaze of glory, there they are, hearty heart. Their world would never end, but they'll fall hard when we get started. Let's follow Jesus and cast out sin. Let's march on in his blaze of glory. All good things will win, like all heroes. Fight on like he fights sin in his blaze of glory. Let's not sin nor hurt each other. That would be our word. again. Let's follow Jesus. Now's the time for his name's sake. Let's march on in his blaze of glory. All good things will win, like all heroes in his story. Let's fight on like he fights in his blaze of glory. Let's march on in his blaze of glory. March on in his blaze of glory. All good things will win, like all heroes in his story. Let's fight on like he fights in his blaze of glory. Let's fight on like he fights in his blaze of glory.
And there's a lot of things that are going on in the world, and I know that, you know, just yesterday, the invasion of Syria, big news this morning, very interesting. We're going to talk a little bit about that if we got time, but one of the things that I wanted to talk about is I got a video that we're going to play here in just a second, but we talked about this yesterday on Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And it's a good video. It's a short 3-minute clip of Tucker Carlson and RFK. And I know that there's a lot of people saying, and you know, Plowboy Paul, he talks about it quite a bit. And there's a scripture that he brings up quite often, and it's Jeremiah 17. And I'm going to read verses 5-11. And I'm going to read this from the King James Version. It says, "Thus saith the Lord: Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when God cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." And the part that Brother Paul, he always quotes is, "Cursed is he that trusteth in man." And, you know, we've got a lot of people that are out there that are saying, you know, all different kinds of stuff. I mean, and should we trust these people that are put into positions of power over us? You know, absolutely not. I don't believe so. I mean, anybody that's gonna rise to these positions, I think that we definitely need to be wary of. We need to be wary of, you know, where they're getting their funding from, and, you know, if somebody's getting in their pockets or not. But I've seen a change, and I'm seeing things that have been preached from this pulpit for 30 years that are being said on a national level about children's health, about autism, about sick children. It's that's groundbreaking, and it's huge. And, you know, we've been preaching this truth, a lot of these truths that are in this video, for 30 years. I've been hearing them since I was a child, and I'm encouraged by it. And, you know, that's why I've been encouraging you, the remnant out there, to continue to pray for our leaders, because we do need leaders that are standing up on these principles. And I believe that if we do our part and continue to pray for them, that God's going to continue to use them. You know, I've heard it said, and Pastor used to have a postcard or a picture on his bulletin board, and it said, you know, there'd be more powers in the pulpit if there was more prayer in the pews. And, you know, I think that that applies to this land. I think it applies to the churches, but I think it applies to our politicians as well. If we had people that were praying for them, you know, they would be continued to be used by God, because they would be being held accountable, and they wouldn't have any choice. We'll go ahead and have that video, Richard.
There is nothing more profitable in our society today than a sick child, because it all of these entities are making money on them. The insurance companies, the hospitals, the medical cartel, the pharmaceutical companies have lifetime annuities. And the earlier that kid is sick, they don't want to kill him. They want him sick for the rest of their lives. And we have now a whole generation. When my uncle was president, 6% of Americans had chronic disease. Today it's 60%. When my uncle was president, do you know what the annual cost of treating chronic disease was in this country? Zero. There weren't even any drugs invented for it. Zero. Today, it's about $4.3 trillion.
When your uncle was president...
And none of it is necessary.
What was the autism rate in 1960? Do we know?
In 1960, the autism rate... There's about four, five studies, and the highest rate, say about 1 in 2,500, 1 in 1,500, 1 in 10,000. So that, you know, it was somewhere between 1 in 1,500 and 1 in 10,000. Today, it's 1 in every 34 kids, according to the CDC, and in some states, like California, I think maybe Utah and New Jersey, 1 in 22. 1 in 22 kids. And, you know, these kids should be healthy. These kids should be our highest performing kids. And they instead have this extraordinary disability that's going to keep them dependent. If you're full-blown autism, you know, it's a nonverbal, non-toilet trained, head-banging, stimming, toe-walking. These are kids that will never throw a baseball. They'll never... graduate high school. They'll never go out and take a girl on a date. They'll never use the toilet alone. They'll never write a play. They'll never write a poem. They'll never vote.
Never have children.
Never pay taxes.
So that just seems like such an emergency.
And for me, yeah, for me, like, if I could save one of these kids, it would be worth giving my life for it. I'm 70 years old. To save one kid at birth, it would be worth dying for. And to the opportunity and the need for me to save all of these kids, I would do anything for.
And when you got somebody that's running on a platform to make America healthy again, to get rid of pharmaceutical companies, to make raw milk legal all across the United States, to ban vaccinations, I mean, I see where the spirit of the Lord there is liberty. And then we're going to read that scripture. That scripture is found in 2 Corinthians 3 and 17. I'm going to read this one from the New American Standard Bible, but it says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And I believe the King James says liberty. And I think that that's what we're getting back to. I mean, that's what where we're at, and that's what we've been fighting for. And I don't want people to give up, and I want people to continue to fight. We've got a long haul ahead of us, but we need to be continuing to pray for people like this. I mean, people that are actually making a stand for things that are right and righteousness. And it's an act of God for somebody to be in the position that he's in to be saying things like that. And it's nothing shy of a miracle. And I want people to understand that and to believe that and to continue to pray for people like this, because when we get people that are rising to power like this, there's an enemy, and there's a lot of enemies that don't want this stuff brought out. The pharmaceutical companies, I mean, just what he was talking about, just the chronic disease ones of, you know, over $4 trillion. And it's, you know, he put a target on his head, put a target on his back. He's going to be targeted and attacked for the position that he takes, because we know who's behind the pharmaceutical companies and what they're doing in this land. So just wanted to say that. I guess we're going to go ahead and go to Brother Zach. We've got a message, and then we'll be back for communion.
And greeting to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, December 8th, 2024, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there this morning here. We're glad that you're able to join us. And we are going to start by defining who Jesus Christ is, and that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's the definition of who and what Jesus Christ is. We're going to jump back up to verse 1, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ was the Word that became flesh. At this time, the time of the Gospels, when that time took place, that was the beginning of Jesus's ministry and him setting up the new covenant that we have today. And when this Word that became flesh, if you want to know him, you have to study the Old Testament. And what does the Old Testament do? The Old Testament gives you advice on how to conduct your life. It's the law. It's a history book. It shows you the consequences of when you do things properly, and it shows you the consequences of when you do not do things properly, whether it be on an individual level, a family level, or a national level. There are examples of men doing things wrong and it costing their life and their family's life. There are examples of a man doing something wrong and it costing a nation, a great part of their population, and wars, and as a nation as a whole, if they do not conduct themselves as the advice in the Old Testament, his law, instructs them to, us to, then you will cease to be existing as a country. This book, this advisor book, this Word that became flesh, this Word that is God, it's a book of advice on how you are to conduct yourself. And as I said before, when you take advice, and if say it's bad advice, and you believe it to be true, then you conduct yourself according to that advice, and it's not good advice. Advice not proper. It's not the way God intended. Then what are you doing? You are wasting your time, and that's the only time is the only commodity that God that. Can be given by God. So don't waste your time. Don't waste your precious gift by taking bad advice. Study the Word so that way you can conduct yourselves in a way that is appropriate and approved by the great I Am and Jesus Christ. That is why we are here. That's why we try to teach the Word to our best of our ability. We don't try to put our own thoughts and our feelings and what we think and our opinions, because when it comes right down to it, it doesn't matter. We don't want to waste your time. I don't want my time wasted. I want to conduct myself in a way that is appropriate. Mainly, here's the thing. It's actually not really all that much for me. It's for the generations to come. As it says in Proverbs, a wise man leaves his children's children an inheritance. And I want to be that wise man. So, we're actually recording a little bit early today. And when we record, I'm actually recording the day before Sunday morning. I got some things going. And I was busy today and I don't even have any notes. And I thought, well, I seen this Facebook reel, and it was reading out Ecclesiastes. You know, and I sat there, and I was thinking, well, what am I going to preach about today? What am I going to teach? You know, sometimes it's just really good to sit there and read the words of a really smart guy. In this case, it's Solomon. I thought, well, where am I going to start? What kind of advice can I read and lead you guys into listening to that'll help you conduct yourselves in a way that is approved by God? I thought, well, let's start in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And I begin by reading in verse 1. Who is like the wise man and knows the interpretation of a matter? A man's wisdom illumines him and causes his stern face to beam. So I'm going to start by, who is a wise man and knows the interpretation of a matter? When I read that, what do I think? I think the interpretation of a matter. How often do you think, your parents will understand this, do you actually, when you're dealing with people, do you actually think you get the whole story? If you do not have the whole story, then how can you actually have a proper interpretation of a matter? You cannot. This is why it's important not to take sides. This is why it's important to hold your tongue, keep your mouth shut, until you know the entire story of an issue, of a matter. Because how can you give a proper interpretation of a matter if you don't know all the facts? Because if you only know half the facts, how can you take the right position? And the answer is you cannot. We're just in verse 1. Verse 2. I say, keep the command of the king because of the oath before God. Well, that's interesting. You've heard me say it time after time after time again. Government is a minister of the Lord. What their job is to do is to either pour out blessings or curses on the people because of their conduct. Remember, sin is powerful. Remember, if there's much sin in the land, then the government is forced to act a certain way. This is ordained by God. Now, you don't have to participate in everything that's legal. If it doesn't, if it's not approved by God, we are to be separate. We are to be different. Remember the lessons about Paul when he was playing the Pharisee rules, God's rules, and Roman rules. He was an expert in all of them, and we are to be experts in them as well. Do not be in a hurry to leave him. Do not join in an evil matter, for he will do whatever he pleases. Do not be in a hurry to leave him. So basically is what he's saying about the government and a king. Don't just jump ship. There's a lot of ship jumpers in these circles. Learn how to operate in a way that's, you know, godly, and it benefits your family for years to come. I know I might be sounding like I'm going against the grain of a teaching for a lot of years, but, you know, there's a lot, I mean, and I'm not saying there's not a lot of truth in what guys have said before, but we are definitely, you know, I was talking with Richard before this, and the spirit over this land is definitely changing. And I think Richard was telling me that Bible sales are up 25%, 25 or 26% across the land. This is great news because things are going to change. People are going to start applying the teaching of the word that became flesh to their lives. Now, the main thing is they got to stay out of these dirty bird preacher churches. No, they're not going to get anywhere. That's why it's important you people out there invite people to church. As it says here in verse 3, do not join in an evil matter. You don't have to participate in certain things. It's not your duty. You don't have to do anything. Don't participate in evil going on around you. For he will do whatever he pleases. So that's the king's business. It ain't your business. You and I each have a different king, and his name is Jesus Christ, King of Israel. The whole reason why we're in a mess and nobody knows what we're doing is because of sin in the land anyway. Since the word of the king is authoritative, who will say to him, what are you doing? So basically, you got to know your place. He who keeps a royal command experiences no trouble, for the wise heart knows the proper time and procedure. I can't think of the guy's name. But I know people that have gone off and fought the government and got themselves into all kinds of trouble and threw away all of their labor that they did in life and threw it away. And they died broke and in a one-bedroom apartment. I know several guys like that. For what? Were they morally correct? Yeah. But in the end, was it actually worth it? I don't know. I bet their kids and grandkids would say probably not. Then you just look like a crazy. And I'm not saying he's crazy. And I'm not saying they were crazy. I'm just saying the procedure was inaccurate. Don't go around and don't violate God's law. That's what you do. For there is a proper time and procedure for every delight. Though a man's trouble is heavy upon him, if no one knows what will happen, who can say to him when it'll happen? What is he talking about here? I actually think when he's talking about, well, what's going to happen? Well, when the system turns and changes, you can't go around like we are a select group of people. We are people that are in the know. We are a people that are a remnant. God always has his people around that know. That no, they know. So this, what is going to happen? What is it? It's going to turn, the flip. The cleansing of the land. The wickedness being thrown out and made illegal. That's what is going to happen. This is all God's timing. I sit there, I don't get into this. I know Pastor Peters used to get into stuff. There's some, he had a song about a horse. I think it was called Long Shot. Anyways, I remember he played it. And I don't remember if it was a true story or not, but this horse was a long shot. Nobody bet on him, and this horse ended up winning. And I know there's some of you out here that know exactly what I'm talking about. And you're like, oh, geez, you can't remember. But, you know, who knows when the time is? And like what we talked about earlier, the Bible sales of it. There's a different spirit in the land. People are fed up. People are fed up with the craziness that is being taught in the schools. You know, you can choose if you're a cat or a dog and what gender you are, and people giving kids maturity blockers. I don't know how else to say it, because I'm in church. You know, people are tired of that kind of stuff. They know it's not natural, you know. Anyways, back to that song. And I was sitting there thinking, I'm from Michigan, okay? And I used to be a pretty decent Lions fan, but I'm 48, And after years of disappointment, just the Lions, they would do the dumbest stuff. I'm not really even a sports fan, but, you know, they're the Lions. I think I got into it because it used to be my uncle and cousins used to get into it. I always had to watch it on Thanksgiving, which we just had. Because that was their time when they generally won. But they're the Lions. And you sit there, and I just wonder. I'm not saying this is the way it is. But Judah is always referred to as a lion. Well, Israelites are generally sheep, which means they're stupid. And they figure out the dumbest ways, the most logical things to not do. That's what they do to lose. But this year when you watch the Lions, they haven't lost a game. And everybody's projecting them to be going to the Super Bowl. And I've heard people saying that they're going to, but they haven't. Their tactics are just incredible. And you look at the map of how Trump won. Like, literally, they beat Harris so badly. And I just sit there and I think about the Lions, like the Lion of Judah. So I thought that in the beginning of the season, the way I was listening to their head coach. I wonder if the Lions are going to win. And I thought, I wonder if it's like maybe a sign. The Lion of Judah coming back, going to win. I don't know. The spirit is different in this land. Now, it could be wishful thinking. It could be just me, whatever. The times that are coming is very exciting, very joyful. I'm just excited to see what happens in the next few years. Anyway, sorry I went off on that rant. But we don't know when it's going to happen. That's God's timing. No man has authority to restrain the wind with the wind, or the authority over the day of death, and there is no discharge in time of war, and evil will not deliver those who practice it. Evil will not deliver those who practice that. Remember that. It's so cool listening to these old cats. We're reading Solomon here. You know, no matter what they're doing, evil is not going to deliver them. All this I have seen and applied my mind to every deed that has been done under the sun, wherein a man has exercised authority over another man to his hurt. Man has exercised authority over another man to his hurt. It is not. If you're in authority, you're in a very unlucky spot. You'll end up getting hurt. Why? Because when you're the decision maker, and then you kind of have a sense of seeing that to his hurt. He'll look down. He'll think he's better than the one he's exercising authority over. But it's all God. It's all God. It's all God's doing. So then, I have seen the wicked buried, those who used to go in and out from the holy place, and they are soon forgotten in the city where they did thus. This too is futility. So both the good and the righteous die. They both die. What can we do? We can set things up better for our children, according to this text. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. This is very important. Remember where he's talking? It's the children that pay for the sins of the father. They, you know, by the time they figure out what's going on, they are so embedded in evil deeds, it takes a miracle to get them to repent. This is why it is absolutely important to define who Jesus Christ is according to the Word. And like I said earlier, we have to give good life advice. How do we do that? We do not deviate from what the Bible says. Give good life advice. Obey the law. Apply those principles to our life. That is the only thing that you accept is his yoke, which is his law. You can accept it or not. I'm not talking the... When people, like, if you actually even think about these preachers that say accept Jesus, for one, they don't know who he is. They don't have him defined correctly. And they say the law is done away with. Like, the only thing that they can accept, which is his word, which is believing what he says, because the word is God. Because the word is God. They can't. That's the only thing that people can accept. In order to get there, you have to die to them through baptism. There's no accepting. You are killing your own way of thinking. And that's tough, even after you're baptized. That's right. So when you read this in verse 11, because the sentence against evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are among them, are given fully to do evil. Why? Because they don't know anything else. You know, if God was a lightning bolt type dude, you know, every time you cross the line, you know, people would be more apt to be righteous, but it's not that way. You have to choose and wrap your head around it and make the mental decision, I am going this way. You got it? Well, what my old preacher used to say back in the day when I was a Judeo, you got to get rid of that stinking thinking. That's what he used to say. That's the only thing I agree with that guy. But the way he defines your thinking, most of them people are hosed anyway. Study to show yourself approved, as it says in Timothy. Although a sinner does evil 100 times and may lengthen his life, still I know that it will be well for those who fear God, who fear him openly. So what Solomon's saying here, like, the wicked guy can extend his life a long time. It's better for those who fear God, especially if you do it openly. Like what Joseph said when Potiphar's wife, I will, you know, he could have made it so that way he had a great life. But he was not willing to compromise what his God approved of. And in the end, God tested him and brought him through. He ended up number two in the land. But he could have had a pretty cush gig life had he done what was asked of him by Potiphar's wife. He'd rather it go well between him and God. And that's the way that cat rolled. Now, the years he was in prison probably didn't feel so good. But he persevered. He didn't deviate. He kept faith in God. And he ended up on top. But it will not be well for an evil man. And when he will not lengthen his days like a shadow because he does not fear the Lord. So in the end, it ain't going well for him. Where's he going to go? I think we all know. There is futility which is done on the earth that is done, there are righteous men to whom it happens according to the deeds of the wicked. So what is he saying here? There are things done to the righteous people that aren't fair, which the example I just used, which was Joseph, because of the wickedness, it affects the righteous. That's what he's saying here. On the other hand, there are evil men whom it happens according to the deeds of the righteous. So what's he saying here? You just look at, let's just take the Revolutionary War. Well, no, I'm not going to use that as an example. There are people who benefit from the deeds of the righteous, like, example, those who lived in Israel before the divorce, let's say in the time of Judges, or people that live in the United States, that was a righteous act to boot out England. And there are people still benefiting from it because of that righteous deed and act and that accomplishment that are wicked. That's what he's talking about here. This is why it's very important to pay attention to what's going on and being put in your head. Sometimes life's just not fair. No reason to blame God about it. It's just the way it is. It just tells you how powerful actions of the past are, whether it be good or bad. Think about it. I say that this, too, is futility. So, in the end, what difference does it make? You know, that's what he's saying here. Me, personally, I'm like, well, you know what? I'm going to try to do my best so that way my actions affect my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, to the best of my ability. I mean, really, I wish I thought the way I do right now when I was in my late 20s, early 30s. And you can say, well, that's not the way. Like, I wish that. I wish I could have. But I had bad advice. And what was I doing? I was wasting my time. I'm going to end up going nowhere. Most of those people that have given me all this advice, they couldn't cash flow anything if their life depended on it. And I'm not a greedy person. I'm just saying, like, you got to pay the bills, and when you hand it off, after you're done, it's got to be in good condition. If you had them a piece of garbage that's 50 years old that nobody's wanted, you know what I mean. Basically is what I'm saying. If you got something, make it good so that way it's worth something to somebody that they can work at. I mean, if it's just a, I can go off on a tangent on that, but I'm not going to. Verse 15, So I commend pleasure, for there is nothing good for a man under the sun except to eat and drink and be merry, and this will stand by him his toils throughout the days of his life which God has given him under the sun. So remember I was talking about the time that only God could give? He's talking about that right here. So what God gave you, work it, handle it respectfully as a precious gift that God gave you, whether it be a company, a good job, a good family. Eat, drink, and have a good time. And protect it. So that way when you bite the dust, kick the bucket, you can rest knowing that who you're handing it off to got a good chance. Have all your ducks in a row. verse 16. When I gave my heart to know wisdom and to see the task which has been done on the earth, even though one should never sleep day or night, I saw every work of God. I concluded that man cannot discover the work which has been done under the sun. What's he talking about? He's talking about figuring out the mysteries of the Lord, I believe. I could be wrong. Even though that man should seek laboriously, he will not discover it. And though the wise man should say, I know, he cannot discover. Man, maybe next week I'll do Ecclesiastes 9. That's actually what I wanted to get into. There's some stuff in there, like, but I thought, well, you know, shoot, we'll do 8 too. So, what is the gist of this chapter? You know, God put you in a system, and you know what? I'm actually pretty happy I'm in the system on this planet that I'm in. I'm in America. Is everything right? Does everything go on? No. I absolutely am disgusted with the Biden administration is doing with sending all that money over to Europe to fight Russia. And I mean, what a joke. We're in a proxy war with those guys. Like 3,000 guys a day getting wounded or killed. And it's our fault. Now, some of you Judeos out there might be like, oh, you got to stand with Ukraine or whatever. It's not my problem. It's not my business. It would have been done and over with if we hadn't been funding. Do I agree with that? No. I think the guy's a clown. Like what he did with his son this week, pardoned him. Well, gee, what a joke. What a joke. I don't have to take part of that. I don't have to approve that. What I have to do is live a righteous life, protect what's mine, be happy about it. Don't sit there and constantly want more or be greedy or what. I mean, don't let that consume you, because I'm going to leave it all anyway. Maybe I'll be lucky enough to see as what it says. Where does it say it here? Let me look. Where does it say here? When it will happen. Maybe I'll be lucky enough to see that with my eyes. When the turn and the wickedness is cleaned from the land. Maybe I'll be lucky enough. How do you be part of the catalyst to make that happen? Live righteously? Define Jesus Christ properly? Tell other people so that way they can die to him and accept the only thing, which is the change of the language is repentance. Get them baptized. And with that, I am out of time. For those of you that belong to Jesus Christ, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that message. And we come to the part of the service where we are about to partake of communion. So I'd ask that you get your emblems ready. And I want to start off with a couple different scriptures. A scripture that was shared with me this morning through email was Luke 16:15. And I'm going to read it from the New American Standard Bible. It says, "And he said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the sight of people, but God knows your heart, because that which is highly esteemed among people is detestable in the sight of God." And when I read that scripture, I immediately thought of this scripture. And the next scripture is Matthew 15:9. It says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And I thought about, you know, how, you know, we talk about that and how often we see people that are out there that are doing these things. And, you know, could we be guilt things? I mean, do we have a heart problem? Do we have a sin problem? Do we have, do we think higher of ourselves than we ought to? And I think that that's one of the things that when we can, when we partake of communion, that we can, you know, it's a time to sacrifice ourselves. I listened to some men on communion recently, and we played the 5-part series from Pastor Peters on There's More to Communion. And, you know, I thought about how so often you hear people talk about the communion is, you know, you take a communion and it gets rid of the sins that you did in the last week. And other people talk about it how it's for the week ahead of you. And, you know, it's, you know, I really believe that it's something that it's, you know, we combine those things. I mean, it's something that we can think about the things that we've done, you know, in the last week and the things that we want to change. We want to, you know, and ask for help and guidance and direction and healing for the things that are, you know, in the upcoming week or coming weeks. There's a lot of people that are out there that don't partake of communion every week. The early church did partake of communion on the first day of the week, and they took of it as on a weekly basis. I've heard a lot of arguments of people just taking it on Passover. But when we gather together to do this, we're going to do things a little bit different. And I got a song that I want to play. And when I play this song, I just want you to, you know, think and meditate about, you know, the things of the last week that you'd like to change, you know, in the upcoming weeks, and the things that maybe you did right, maybe the things that you did wrong, and just, you know, bring it before our Heavenly Father. And then I want you to think about the things that that we're asking for help in the future, the things that we maybe want to change in our lives, that we want to purge from our lives. You know, maybe it's, you know, we want to draw closer to God. Maybe it's, you know, we haven't had the love of God that that we're supposed to. Maybe we don't love Him with all our heart, mind, and soul. And I also want to just, you know, plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us as Christians, but over this land as well. So we're going to have this song. This is an old song, and it's entitled Less of, and I think that it's appropriate for a communion song. And it's the time that we can think lesser of ourselves and more of God, because as we partake of communion, that is what makes us righteous. That is the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's applying it to our lives.
Let me be a little kinder, let me be a little blinder to the faults of those about. Let me praise a little more. Let me be when I'm weary, just a little bit more cheery. Think a little more of others and a little less of me. Let me be a little braver when temptation bids me waver. Let me try a little hard to be all that I should be. Let me be a little meeker with the brother that is weaker. Let me think more of my neighbor and a little less of me.
Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Father, we remember the price that was paid for our sins, for the sins that we commit weekly. We pray, Father, that you help us to continue to purge sin from our lives, that we draw closer to you. And we thank you for this tool that you've given us. As we drink of your blood and eat of your body, Father, we ask that you make that transformation in us, that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, that you help us to think of ourselves and more of you and more of your kingdom. It's not about us, it's about you and your kingdom and your people, Father. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us as a body of Christians that come together to eat of your flesh and drink of your blood. Lord, we're grateful for this. We continue to pray for, and we pray for America. We pray, Father, that you raise up godly Christian men, women, children that seek you and your ways first and foremost. Father, we love you, and we thank you for all the blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. And we ask, Father, that you answer these prayers as we partake of communion today. Pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may partake.